remain time for vote?
Judge, I do. I have 5 minutes.
Duly noted. You can whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, my name is Charles Phelps. I represent the appellant, Robert Lee Jones. This matter is rather unique in that, as we indicated in the brief, for purposes of appeal, we're not challenging the evidence, but challenging the interpretation of the statute, 18.2-154, and the application of the word act. This statute under which Mr. Jones was convicted is a property crime. It's found in Chapter 5 of the Code, Crimes Against Property, Article 8, Offenses Relating to Railroads and Other Utilities. We think that that is different than the offense referenced in King, which both the Commonwealth and I referenced in our briefs. That is found in Chapter 7 of Article 4, Dangerous Use of Weapons. In the case at issue, we talk about at where somebody is doing something towards property. I understand and I appreciate the court's analysis in King looking at the word at and saying that, well, if you're in the building and you discharge a firearm, that is at the building. However, in this case, we have a separate provision in the code that deals specifically with somebody discharging a firearm within a vehicle, and that's 18.2-286.1. The interpretation given by the trial court would really render that second code section duplicative or superfluous because it contains the same information as in 18.2-154. There was some mention in the Commonwealth's brief that, well, it doesn't contain the term malice, but it is a Class 5 felony. I think certainly Mr. Jones could have been convicted under that section, but we believe that the proper application of that code, 18.2-154, with the acknowledgement or stipulation that Jones was, in fact, within the vehicle as the evidence came out at trial, would render the conviction improper, and we would ask the court to reverse and dismiss that indictment.
Thank you, sir. Any questions?
No questions.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Jones, the look again. You've changed the look.
Good morning. I'm just trying to keep you on your toes, Your Honor.
Yes, sir. I almost didn't notice you again. I almost didn't recognize you again. Good morning.
Good morning. And then may it please the court, I am John Jones. I represent the Commonwealth, and we're asking the court to affirm Robert Jones's conviction of shooting at an occupied vehicle because there was no reversible error in the trial court's conviction. And so, again, code section.
Can we review this de novo, correct?
It is a de novo review, Your Honor, because it deals with statutory interpretation. And it's the Commonwealth's position that 18.2-154 and 18.2-279 are materially identical, except for with respect to the type of people container that they concern. With 154, with what Jones was convicted under, it's a vehicle, occupied vehicle. 279 is an occupied house. And
let me ask you a question, Mr. Jones.
Yes,
wouldn't
sir.
It be fair to say that at is a directional proposition or preposition?
It is, Your Honor.
What was the question? I was asking if the word at is a directional preposition. If that is the case, wouldn't the plain meaning or reading of the statute indicate that the position of the person who is perpetrating the shooting would not be in the vehicle?
I wouldn't agree with that, Your Honor, and for the
How
same
are we
reasons.
To read the word at?
For the same reasons that the court in King determined that one could shoot at a part of a house from within the house, the same is true of a vehicle. You could shoot at a part of a vehicle from within the vehicle, and you know that logic that dictated in King, I think, should also control in this case. And
understanding that King actually was looking at the at part of the shooting within an occupied dwelling. That code section also had shooting in the occupied dwelling as well.
Yes, Your Honor.
Correct? Does that have any impact?
No, Your Honor, because the court in King explicitly confined its analysis to the ad part.
I understand, but just the fact that that exists within the statute have any play at all?
I don't see any relevance to this particular case, Your Honor. And again, the court, and in King, it wasn't just a simple sufficiency challenge either. It was a fatal variance challenge. The defendant in King, the appellant in King, said that he was charged and indicted under the second prong of 279. Mm-hmm. The evidence only established the first prong, and so it should be gotten. His conviction should be reversed on fatal variance grounds, but the court determined that the evidence did indeed establish a violation of the prong that's relevant here.
The at part.
Yes, Your Honor. And
if we did not have King, if King were not out there and we didn't have the interpanel cord doctrine, would you have a tougher time convincing us that at is actually different? In this case, that at would be from within?
Certainly, I wouldn't be as confident without controlling case law, Your Honor, but I do think that the logic in King is sound, that shooting at a part of the vehicle, and the statute simply does not contain an element for where the location of the shooter is. You can shoot at a people container, again, from within or from without. And that also touches on Jones's argument that 18.2-286.1 would be duplicative and superfluous if the court was to uphold this interpretation of 154. But as I argued on brief, and I think there's conduct that you could be... 286.1 concerns itself only with the location of the shooter and not the destination of the shot. And so it's sort of the inverse of 154, which concerns itself with the destination of the shot, but not the location of the shooter. So there are factual scenarios that someone could only be convicted of one or the other, or of both. And I think Jones actually fits into that window where he could have properly been convicted of both because he fulfilled the elements of both. But that does not render 286.1 duplicative or superfluous.
And prosecutors choose what statutes to prosecute under all the time. Correct?
That's true, Your Honor. That's true. And the prosecutor's decision to charge Jones under 154 was defensible. The evidence satisfied all the elements of the offense, and so the evidence was sufficient. But I do think that King is instructive. To go back to your question about whether without King, it would be more difficult, perhaps, but we do have King, and I do think that it should control the outcome in this case, as the trial court, I think, rightly determined. And again, shooting at a part of a building is sufficient, even when the target is not inside the building within King, because King was convicted of shooting, his ultimate target was outside of the house, but he was shooting, he shot the wall, he shot the window in the process of shooting at that person, and so his conviction was upheld under 279. Here, I think the facts are even more compelling because his target was within the vehicle, and in addition, he did hit parts of the vehicle. He saw that there was a bullet embedded in the V pillar. He shot out a window. There was another bullet that was in the center console, and so he certainly shot at the car. So, and again, the gravamen of the offense is shooting at a vehicle, and shooting at a part of the vehicle satisfies that.
And you're not disputing that if he was outside the vehicle and he shot toward the vehicle, that would also be at the vehicle?
Absolutely, Your Honor. And I think that in 99% of the factual situations where I've seen this, just anecdotally, that's been the factual scenario, but that doesn't mean that this factual scenario doesn't also satisfy the elements of the crime. But that wouldn't be my position, that one would have to be within the vehicle to be properly convicted under statute. Unless the panel has any other questions, then I would just rely on the brief.
Thank you, Mr. Jones.
Thank you.
Mr. Phelps,
yes.
You've got a good bit of time left, should you choose to use it.
Just a brief issue, Judge. I think, and perhaps it may be splitting hairs, but in King, we have someone shooting at a building, sorry, which is a fixed, immovable structure. In our case, in 182-154, it's a vehicle, certainly a mobile structure, which is what brought it into that section of the code to begin with, I think, property crime. So,
it originally all began in one code section.
Yes, and certainly the location of a particular statute within the code is not dispositive, but certainly something I think the court can consider in reaching a decision. Thank you.
Could you respond to the Commonwealth's response to you about this statute would render 18.2 286.1 superfluous?
That is my argument, that it would. And I understand, I think 182-154 is a Class 4 felony, while the 286 section, .1, is a Class 5, both carry up to 10 years. And there is no mention of malice in that second code section. But I think, why have it if we've got 182-154? That says within a vehicle, clearly says within a vehicle. If the legislature wanted to make that distinction, they could have done it in 154 and not created 286.1.
Well, they didn't make any significant amendments to the code after King.
That's correct.
I mean, the King case has been out there a while, and while they made some other amendments, they didn't change the language, the relevant language. What's the impact of that?
Well, I'm not sure, but I would note, and I think we noted in the brief, there really isn't a lot of cases on shooting within the vehicle. They all, as the court and Commonwealth indicated, 99% of them deal with shooting from outside the vehicle toward the vehicle. So it's certainly an issue that needs to be decided, and we would ask the court to grant our...
But wouldn't this panel be bound by King sitting...
I don't think so, for some of the differences that I indicated, that 154 deals with property crimes. It is a vehicle where King is handling dangerous firearms, and it was a house, which was a fixed structure.
Thank you, counsel. We'll come down and greet counsel. Next case on the docket is Mathis versus Commonwealth.